Hi, welcome to Culturally Determined. I'm your host, Arya Conwade, and my guest today is Phoebe Maltz Bovey. Phoebe, could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, yes, indeed. I am Phoebe Maltz Bovey. That's right. I'm a senior editor at the Canadian Jewish News. I'm a podcaster there at Bonjour Chai. And on my own, but with Kat Rosenfield, separate from the Canadian Jewish News, I'm saying, at Feminine Chaos, which is on Substack these days. I'm glad I remembered where it is. And what else? Oh, yeah, I wrote The Perils of Privilege. I came out 1,000 years ago, but it's still a book, so I have to mention it.
I think six years in calendar time, but...
It felt like a while ago, and I'm American from New York City, but I live here in Toronto, Canada, and that's about it. So I'm not allowed to talk about America because I'm supposedly Canadian, and I'm not allowed to talk about Canada because I'm American, so I just talk anyway.
Well, thank you.
That's about it. And we know each other from Blogging Heads days.
Yes. Well, thank you for coming back on. I think you're a friend of the show officially.
Oh, thank you.
Feminine Chaos program started on Blogging Heads, and I was like sort of the producer behind the scenes. I didn't really do all that much, but vaguely involved behind the scenes. And now we are both doing our shows independently. And the last time you were on was, I think, February 2021. So about 2 years ago. And the topic we discussed then, or I gave it the episode the title, Why Are We Still on Twitter? and so it's 2 years later, we are both still on Twitter, but Twitter's changed a lot. And now a lot of people who were on Twitter 2 years ago are no longer there, or they're barely there. Or they're moving to a sort of knockoff site called Blue Sky, I think, one word. Or they have had a mental breakdown. Or they're posting through it, or they're just riding the waves of the discourse. So yeah, so I wanted to talk to you because I feel like you know, are sort of a.
I am extremely online. I am so online.
I mean, you're extremely online, but I think you're also a normie. Like you're our mother. You have a job. You're not anonymous. I met you in real life one time. You seem like more or less a normal person.
I return the favor. Yes, we are both normies underneath it all, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. So maybe we're not true. Maybe we're extremely online, but we're not true posters. Okay. So this is, yeah. So the way I've been thinking about this episode is sort of like I've done 3 or 4 or 5 episodes about Twitter over the last year since Musk bought the site. And I feel like this is maybe the last one I'll ever do because it seems like Twitter is on, you know, it's like, the cadaver is still warm. It's like barely, I think it's basically dead or dying. There were predictions that maybe the site would just stop working entirely after Musk fired like 3/4 of the staff. That hasn't happened. It definitely works worse than it used to, but it's still basically functional. It never worked super well to begin with is part of it and maybe part of the charm of it. But it's definitely the vibe. There's been a vibe shift for sure on Twitter. And there also was a piece that Willie Staley published in the New York Times Magazine a couple of weeks ago. The headline was, "What was Twitter anyway?" So he agrees it's sort of like something, an era has ended. And it's an interesting piece. I encourage people to read. The link will be in the notes. Okay. Do you disagree with anything I said? Do you think the site is actually still alive? Well, or?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to distinguish between the sort of technical aspects where it does sometimes feel like the site is teetering on the brink of just not really being so functional, like the For You tab or whatever, like different things will appear. Like for a while, it seemed, I guess it wasn't showing that something was a retweet. So it just seemed like suddenly I would log on and it was just absolutely random posts. And they weren't ones that I was objecting to. They just like, who are these people? Where is this all coming from? And I just thought like, what am I logging
on? It's glitching a lot. It has, but it hasn't like, it used to just stop working, like have like a site outage fairly often enough that it became a running joke.
I mean, maybe this is contributing to my partially normie status, but there are so many internet outages in my home here in Canada that I don't even know if Twitter's not working. Is it Twitter? Is it just my internet? But yeah, so I would distinguish between that and then this whole question of, is it this site? Like, is it what it once was? And I think what's interesting is that it isn't, but I feel like I'm going to it almost habitually because I just go to it. But yeah, so I mean, I think we can obviously we'll get into the whole blue check reversal, where it used to be that you would have a verified blue check if you were either notable or had worked in journalism. There are all these different things. And then it switched. And not only could you pay for, under Elon Musk's regime, could you pay for a blue check, but you no longer can have one except if you've paid for it, or he's given it to you, which is some whole weird thing. Or if you have a million followers or something, there's some whole, right?
So we're recording this on May 1st. I don't know if you saw this last night. Someone figured out that if they inserted the phrase former blue check at the beginning of their Twitter bio, the check would at least reappear in some browsers.
No, that's so silly. Okay.
And so I don't know how someone, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of people screwing around the site constantly. Somehow if someone figured this out, it worked for some people. It didn't work for others.
That's really funny. It's really funny. Okay. So yeah, so there was this reversal there in terms of like, who's an authority per the site, which I think has changed something. Now, obviously, part of our discussion is going to be what, but I would say there's like a before and after around that.
Yeah, for sure.
About the experience. But I would say that remarkably, there are a lot of, like, it hasn't changed as much as you would think. A lot of the people who were posting with the blue check are now posting without the blue check. And a lot of people, you know, I think the mind kind of, at first I thought, oh no, it's going to seem like it's just going to be confusing or something. But I feel like it's kind of like my mind has adjusted. And now I imagine the blue check is, okay, this is somebody who's super into using Twitter and they've paid for it, as versus, oh, this is somebody who maybe works in journalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to talk about the blue check thing. Maybe we should start there, because that's sort of like, you know, there's been like New York Times, like this is like breaking news on the New York Times that the blue checks finally were eliminated. And then some other changes. One I think has been important is publicly displaying these engagement statistics on every tweet.
Right.
And just Musk's other various changes. And then, the blue check thing. My joke that the blue check, it's a symbol that has gone a 180 degree reversal in its meaning. Mm-hmm. So it once meant, you may be a journalist, you may be a prominent figure, usually in media, mm-hmm. to some extent, or not even prominent. If you worked for BuzzFeed, you got verified. And mm-hmm. I once found in my wasting my life on the site, I once found someone who had fewer than 100 followers in a blue check. And I felt like I discovered a piece of gold in the dirt.
Or a gold check. Isn't that what is a gold,
the
gold check?
Yeah, so there's now a gold check, but I think it's company. So it's now all these symbols have been changed. But the blue check basically used to mean you have verified your identity through like a driver's license or something. Mm-hmm. So this is, you're not pretending to be someone else, although there's ways around mm-hmm. this. And two, you have some level of notoriety or something, as judged by a somewhat opaque internal process. Mm-hmm. So it sort of used to mean this is a person who maybe you should pay somewhat attention to, mm-hmm. but not necessarily. But like, this is like a human. This is not like a bot, or this is not like, well, I mean, I was gonna say this isn't a neo-Nazi, but that guy who was punched the day of Trump's inauguration once had a blue mm-hmm. check as well. So you could, but he got it removed. So neo-Nazis could at one point get verified.
Right. I mean, I think it was also for professional reasons. Like, it was shorthand for, it was kind of like the way a BA functions in the job market, where it's like shorthand, you know, it's kind of like
a press badge is what one person, a journalist described it as, you know, like you would wear in your hat. Or
so
something.
Like when I had stuff I was trying to promote, like specifically the book, but just I guess in general, if somebody followed me with a blue check and I had to make that snap decision, do I follow back or not? It's not that I would definitely follow back if there was a blue check, and definitely not if there wasn't, but it would probably be a shorthand for follow back in the sense of, this is probably somebody I have some kind of professional reason to follow back. It doesn't. Yeah, it wasn't. It was like that. I would say that would be the closest analogy.
Right. But it everything on. OK, so another sort of overarching thesis I have is that everything that happens on Twitter is stupid. And so you can agree or disagree with that, but the
I'm gonna just yes and it during this.
It became part of the psychodrama, and like it became like a class marker.
Yes.
People refer to it as the blue checks.
Yes.
And there'd be people who would write, you know, there'd be op-eds or be like, I don't know if the blue checks of Twitter would approve of what I'm about to say, but blah, blah, blah.
Always buy somebody with a blue check. That was the thing.
Because if you're writing columns for a public outlet, you probably...
It would be like, here in Newsweek, where I am an editor, is my discourse on the blue check elites. Yes.
I don't know if you're referring to one specific person when saying an editor at Newsweek, but I thought
I wouldn't subtweet ever. Okay. Yeah. So I'm one of the rare people who had a blue check then didn't before all of this. So I can speak to the difference in experience before the big shift.
Yes.
And it's interesting.
So you lost your you had to reset your account through an accidental.
Semi-accidental. Basically, I had just had a baby and like my mental health was not great. My general well-being, I was just like worn out, exhausted. I really just was like not feeling myself. And I thought I don't want to be posting through it. And I also don't have time to post. So it just seemed silly. And it felt like what it felt like was pretending to be working when I was home with a baby. It felt like I was doing this kind of like mimicking of work while on leave for a job that I then did not end up having when I came back from the leave, which is another whole story.
Right.
Not specific to Twitter. But yeah, I didn't want to be posting through it and I didn't have the time to post anyway. So it seemed silly to be on it. So I paused my account without realizing that if you pause it for more than 30 days, you lose it, which happened. But I, you know, did not want to like drop out of the writing whatever world entirely. And, you know, I long since back at work at this point. But the point is that like I did get another Twitter account, but I had to just start all over and
start from scratch.
And so what this has meant is that I've seen what it is to have a blue check. The blue check I had was it was when my book was coming out, and I think working for, not technically at, because it was like a freelance role, freelance editor at the Forward. But I think it was because of the book that I got verified. And people interact with you differently if you are or aren't, in terms of this sort of follows back. But I think it was a lot easier to have your kind of niche in the world without the blue check, because you just kind of can have like it's less kind of this professional networking thing. And it was interesting, like who I basically followed back anybody I remembered having followed before and who did and didn't return that follow of people I had been even like interacting with a lot, was interesting because clearly like it means something. And I'm, as I say, like, I'm sure I was as guilty of this as anyone else, but yeah. So I had a little preview, but now nobody has the blue check for that reason anymore. So it's all kind of. All that I was kind of feeling like, oh no, I threw away this thing I had. And now it's like the thing doesn't even exist. So.
Right. Okay. Now, one of the people who did not have the blue check said that like Twitter treated the blue check people better. And maybe the post.
Oh, they sent me out on yachts and they bought me diamonds.
Well, when they deleted your account, which is probably a semi-automated process or something after you had been logging in regularly, the fact that you had a blue check, did you try to get control of the account again?
I think it's just permanently deleted. I didn't ever try anything again, and I certainly didn't apply again for a blue check. It seemed
okay. So it was not like, oh, Miss.
I just did. It has a new handle.
We see that you know this very special person.
Oh, it just disappears. No, it just disappears. The whole account is just gone, or at least was. I don't know. It might all be different now. But yeah, I mean, I guess it did show me that you can kind of use it the same, that the blue check ultimately like isn't what makes or breaks your like writing career. It's it's, you know, but it does, like, around the edges there are like the people who are gonna think you count because you have, and the people who
I wonder if you cared enough about it that you had like a concerted and concerted effort to get it back. The fact that you had a blue check would make it easier. I have no idea. Like I said, the company was never
I don't think I ever tried to do anything. I think I just opened up a new account. And what happened was then I remember about it after I had already started the new account and at that point I already had followers like,
Okay, so you did not. There's people who seemingly did value the boot checks such that losing launch them into an existential crisis. But you did not. That was not how your relationship to.
I mean, in a way, at the time, I thought because it was just me, right? And there were the other people who still had it for the usual reason. So yeah, I mean, I felt like it was more that I thought, oh dear, like I probably just kind of shot myself in the foot professionally here. But then it started to very quickly seem not to matter at all. And then that, I guess, did then in turn frame how I saw that, like, now, you know, all the people I think of as the blue checks don't have them anymore. And it's like, whatever. It just doesn't, like, it doesn't, in that, through that lens, it doesn't surprise me that they're still active on the site. Because, like, it doesn't ultimately do that.
Yeah, so, okay. So I think the idea that the blue checks represented a special higher, you know, but Musk even said something like it was, you know, lords and servants sort of thing or something along those lines. That was not true because the it was they're all, you know, they were all taken away. And it's not like there's now, you know, this is now like a communist equal society on Twitter. But the weird. OK, so but the thing that is extra stupid is that the symbol, the blue check indicates they changed it completely. It indicates that you're now paying $8 a month for the Twitter blue like bonus features subscription option, and it says they still call it a verified, I assume, because like all the handles are like Twitter verification team and so forth. Mm-hmm. But it now says they verified your phone number, so they previously verified your identity and now they verify that you have a phone number.
Well, that's pretty special.
A lower level, and presumably a bot or scam artist could very easily manipulate this, but now it means, in my opinion, this person is a fucking moron. Now there were already plenty of fucking morons with blue checks on Twitter, with and without. And I don't know if there were more fucking morons with blue checks than without. It was probably roughly the same percentages. But now it means you are enough of an Elon Musk either fan or don't particularly care about his persona or personal, you know, whatevers, and also care enough about posting that you are willing to pay for these bonus features. And they recently, just within the past couple of weeks, rejiggered the algorithm so that another bonus that you're paying for of $8 a month is that your reply, if you reply to a post, the algorithm puts it at the top if you're paying for blue check.
That's funny. I didn't realize that.
This is recent.
I hadn't noticed that. No. So I have a few thoughts on this. One is that it's interesting that the paying option appeared while there was still the old verified. So you got people who wanted to pass as the other thing, right?
Like it was a mess. All the implementation of this new stuff has been...
No, but I don't even know if it was a mess. Like I'm saying that I think there's something about this that was about like wanting to seem as if you had been verified.
Okay,
you know
no, I see what you mean.
At first. And I think that when I see it, do I think it's somebody who's an idiot? I mean, no, I think it's somebody who has like a parasocial relationship with... sort of media people to some extent where they like want to be. That is one reason. Another is this weird culture wars thing where you get people kind of arguing that because it's the former blue checks who are angry about this, they're going to show those woke overlords, you know, by paying that $8, which goodness knows what that is in Canadian dollars a month.
There's not enough people of that latter group, at least, to keep a business going, I think. I don't think there's really that many people who care about that stuff.
It's weird to have it be that paying is the thing of the people and getting it for free just by giving them like who you are isn't. I mean, I don't have $8 a month to pay for absolutely garbage, a piece of garbage, so I'm not going to do this. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah, I've already devoted.
Yeah, like I have other garbage I buy for $8 a month.
Something we talked about in the episode 2 years ago was this idea of doing the work, and if you're on Twitter doing the work, who are you working for? Mm-hmm. Like who all is ultimately benefiting from Twitter? And you, I think this is what you made this point that like, you know, you are working for Twitter, and now people are not only working for Twitter for free, they're paying. You know, it's like a reverse. It's not even a unpaid internship. It's a,
right. Well, this is a point that Katie Herzog has made also, that like she's providing the content. You know, like she.
She blocked me, I'm sorry to say. So I don't consume her content anymore.
Maybe for the low, low price of $8 a month. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know the blue checks, what people are paying for now. It seems like a little strange because, like I said, like once there isn't this other thing that it looks like, it does just look like you're paying for Twitter. And then why you would want to pay for Twitter, I don't know, given that you can use it for free. I guess, yeah, some of it is.
I think it's only people who... There's different groups. There's people who want to use it to make money in some way through selling a product or a service.
Sure.
And there's a lot of... So these have become...
Well, that's a different category, maybe?
The hustle grind set bros are sort of one subcategory. There's people who are like, I'll be your life coach. It's probably a more manly version of that. Like, I'll be your mentor and I'll teach you how to 10x your income. Yeah. Okay, so there's scammers type people who are doing it.
Yeah.
And then there's people who think that Elon Musk is helping to save America and or the world and or the human race because you know, the sun is eventually going to go supernova and we need to expand the light of consciousness into the cosmos.
Sure.
I believe that's the phrase Jack Dorsey, founder of Twitter, used. So, one of the pleasures of Twitter is that in the pre-online era, there was no way really to interact with a prominent person in any way. Like maybe you could, attend a public lecture and ask a question, or you could call into like C-SPAN book talk or something, but there was always a filter there. Or if you saw someone on like a famous person on the street, you could maybe try to yell something at them or something like that. And Twitter made it so that you could say basically whatever you want, unless it was a death threat to a prominent person, and there was some chance they saw it.
Yes, and then the famous people who do reply become more famous because they get this whole kind of
man of the people.
There's somebody on Twitter now, and they get like a different audience through that. I mean, but the thing with Twitter has always been also that it's very few people on it, right? Like that's always been the thing. I've had many editors tell me nobody cares what's happening on Twitter. I'm like, that's probably true, but I do because I'm a loser.
Okay, one of the pleasures that developed on Twitter is if someone, a private person or a totally random person, posted something weird, stupid, bizarre, you know, whatever, you could look at the replies and you see some very funny, clever people roasting them, you know, calling them creative insults, making jokes about what they posted, etc. And so a dumb post would circulate and you would read the replies and be like, oh, look, the hive mind and like all the, you know, the people out there who are creative but have a lot of spare time on their hands and are somewhat malicious can insult like Ted Cruz in all sorts of creative and funny ways. So that was fun. And that was something that I enjoyed about Twitter. Maybe that's not a good thing that I enjoyed consuming that sort of content, like for my mind or soul.
Well,
But now that has changed. And now when there's a viral post, the blue checks are the first ones you see. And so it used to be the ones with the most faves got the reply.
So it was
a voice of the people sort of thing of like the most creative insults against Ted Cruz or Chrissy Teigen or whoever would get, you'd see them. And now you see the blue checks. So you see the fucking dumbasses I referred to previously. And instead of like this sort of like peanut gallery of wiseacres and smartasses who used to assemble and make fun of prominent, powerful, rich, pompous people, you just now, and the thing is, the posts that these people do are not even like dumb in like a way that is like funny because it's so dumb. It's just like it's just like dumb, like in a very dull, boring way. Like they'll just say something like, great. And that will be like the first reply.
I mean,
well, so Elon Musk has ruined yet another pleasure, perhaps a perverse pleasure that I took from this stupid website of seeing people saying, fuck you, Ted Cruz, in all sorts of funny and creative ways.
Sure. I mean, I think there's, I have too many thoughts on this that I'm trying to like separate out. I mean, one is like the blue check as status symbol. I think when one had a blue check in the old system, it meant like people would, one thing I really didn't like about it is people would assume that you have some kind of power and money and whatever in the world that you very likely don't.
Yeah.
Right. So people would imagine that you're some kind of weird version of like some hybrid of like a tenured professor, you know, top tier journalist, and just like a generically famous person, and that they can say anything they want to you and you won't feel it because you're in your, you know, mansion behind a moat and you have you're untouchable. And I would get things like where people would sort of act like, oh, well, you don't have to, you were just some blue check. And I'd be like, do you want to like see my bank account? Like, what are you talking about? But, It just all seemed a little ridiculous.
Think of all the people who got verified through BuzzFeed and sure. BuzzFeed News shut down.
Exactly.
And had a series of layoffs before that. So there was, sure. 100, 200 or so journalists who were all mm-hmm. blue checks because they're BuzzFeed who mm-hmm. lost their jobs.
Exactly. I mean, there's no reason that any journalist in or out of work currently is, the overlord that people would think a blue check.
So that's one element. Yeah.
I'm also thinking about the pylon. If you want to return to the Willie Staley essay, which, yes, I agree, it's super interesting. But I was thinking about a part in it where he's talking about how he was roasted for a roasting pan joke that he had made about some kind of Le Creuset Star Wars crossover product made fun of. And then somehow, it's funny. I mean, the article, because he's talking about, the way people called him a sexist who doesn't think that men can cook, a sexist who doesn't think women can like Star Wars or whatever it was.
Yeah, so I encourage people to read this article. Mm-hmm. Willie Staley is a funny writer, and he is like a poster, like a online type. And so he mm-hmm. sort of does understand the bizarre dynamics of it. And yeah, so just in short, there was some product that Le Creuset, the bakeware, is that manufacturer, high-end cookware manufacturer, did a Star Wars branded crossover. He screen capped and was like, who is this for? And somehow it became the topic of the day. Mm-hmm. And so he was accused of every possible, horrible thing in the world. Yeah, sexism, classism, mm-hmm. probably ableism. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Can we have a whole separate discussion of the function of ableism on Twitter?
So he became the main character, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And he is, he seems like a very sort of ironic person. And so he had a detached mm-hmm. view of this whole thing. But often if you were, saying fuck you, Ted Cruz, I approve of that. Say mm-hmm. when it was just be a random person who tweeted something mm-hmm. dumb, then sometimes either their evening was ruined, mm-hmm. their life was ruined, they lost their job.
Well, so this is what I want to talk about, exactly where he fits in this ecosystem, because he sort of comes down on the side of that it was kind of good natured in a way, that was just a bit of mocking and it wasn't really that harsh in the end, and it was all kind of fine and he could step away from it. But a lot of that, I think, has to do with the fact that, yes, he's a sort of funny online presence. He's also a person with a media job that people find impressive. And
he's an editor at the New York Times Magazine.
And a man, presumably a white man, whatever. He's a cishet white man.
I actually met him very briefly in real mm-hmm. life as well. He did also seem.
And he's actually a black woman.
he seemed more or less a normal person as well. But yes, he's employed at the, premier media.
Right. So I think that people, that makes people both maybe more jealous of him professionally or whatever, but also I think you put together these sort of constellation of qualities and maybe he would be less kind of savaged on Twitter than some other people might be. I think people assume that this is somebody with some kind of influence in the world, and because he even will tweet about that sometimes, about people thinking that he runs the New York Times, right? Well, I'm sure he gets probably
anyone who actually works at the New York Times probably gets DMs that are confused or semi-deranged people being did you know that on page A7 yesterday, that sort of letters to the editor, remixed in this weird way.
Probably editors do. Cause I have in my Twitter bio that I have this column in the Globe and Mail, but nobody's emailing me about that because I think they know I don't control the newspaper.
Hmm. Well, maybe Canadian Twitter, and we could possibly, this could be a detour, is Canadian Twitter less deranged than American Twitter? But
Canadian Twitter is way more deranged. Okay. Yeah, Canadian Twitter's so deranged. I love it. Even when I was back in the States for a bit, I would read Canadian Twitter. It's really funny.
Okay, wait. Just to backtrack one step, I just want to finish saying that the blue check thing and the reversal of its meaning, the parallel that came to mind is the swastika, which was originally an image that reappeared at various times through human history, but was mainly a symbol of good luck in Hinduism or something. And mm-hmm. that then turned into a 180 to now mean Nazism.
There was a man recently on the subway sitting near me with a bracelet that was all swastikas, but clearly in the very old meaning.
Yes, and you see them on old buildings sometimes, mm-hmm, that it was a design element.
Yeah.
A symbol that is totally reversed. So blue check has gone, obviously not as dramatic, and in a absurd way instead of an evil way. But yeah, so the symbol has been completely ruined and is now meaningless. But okay, but back to Staley's piece. Yeah, so he starts with this anecdote. And well, I mean, one of the things he says is he thinks no one was actually mad at him, that this was all sort of a performance.
Right, right.
Do you agree with that part?
I think that pylons are, I think this existed before Twitter on blog comments, and I don't, like, people talk all the time about how, like, Twitter made this happen, and I feel like I saw this before Twitter existed, so I have trouble really buying into that. I don't know that people are genuinely outraged, because I think by the time people generally join these things, there's so many people clearly on their side who agreed that the thing was outrageous. I mean, so I'm guilty, okay, as always. Let me confess that I contributed to the pylon on, I always want to call her Nola, but it's Nora, but it's something like it's Nola.
This was today. Yes, or today. Within the past 24 hours?
Within the past 24 hours, Nora.
She deleted the main tweet that was getting
people mad. I'm going to look at my own.
No Lore. So this woman, her handle is No Yes. Lore. And, okay. And that
oh,
is...
yes, here it was. Somebody had said something about, like, what if we had lost allies, you know, World War II, and she had tweeted, okay, Nora Laredo had No Lore, et No Lore. Well, the Third Reich wouldn't have lasted forever. Things would have been different. More deaths from them, but then the added bonus of none of deaths from U.S. imperialism. And then okay, she deleted it. She deleted the tweet.
Wait, okay. This woman. So the original tweet was there was a video of someone with in like a truck, like running into like some people who are picketing or on strike or something, like mm-hmm. literal violence. Like someone is trying mm-hmm. to injure or kill mm-hmm. People who are protesting, seemingly mm-hmm. something involving a labor action. She tweeted something along the lines of, more people died fighting for the labor movement than fighting for the vote. So that should tell you where real power lies in this world. Okay, that is probably not true. I have no clue. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. I mean, when do we put the beginning of the labor movement? Like, that you would need to, you know, like what date did that mm-hmm. start?
She's posting.
Yeah. So, but sort of a quip, and this woman is a writer, a podcaster, a Canadian socialist.
I can tell you all about this, but yeah.
And well, then someone, a seemingly well-meaning Canadian person, replied, hey, come on, my grandfather was in the Royal Canadian Air Force, and he fought the Nazis for democracy. And then, but this is just sort of the interaction that wouldn't, like, that specific interaction would never happen absent Twitter. Like, people who are just... in these
okay,
different
so she's
headspaces.
Super okay. I'm going to tell you all about. So this is somebody who, whenever I'm in any kind of arena to do with like Canadian anything, and not even I think just Canadian, but especially Canadian, eventually, like, it's a little Godwin. Like all roads lead to this person. It's like always even recently she had been, I guess, subtweeting angrily about Karens who, like, any if you're a white woman and you call the cops on people who are being threatening in a public park, then you're a Karen and you should feel ashamed. And she's saying this, and but I had a very personal run-in with her many years ago when an excerpt of my book came out in The Walrus, and she tweeted some, possibly a whole thread, I don't remember, but like saying how angry she was at the book and she wasn't going to read it. And what she imagined was in it and how angry she was about what she imagined was in it, but she wouldn't read it. And I was like, what? This person seems like really lovely.
Okay, so this person is very online.
Extremely online.
More than we are. A level up from...
Well, I mean, but what's interesting is that I guess she's just like notorious for these bad takes. And like, it's almost like there becomes a sort of don't feed the troll about her personally. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's just like one of these people. But I think there are a lot of people like this, probably of all political bents, although extreme politics seems to be that. But
you know, the
they
whole
have fans too, egging them on.
Yeah, but the whole interaction. I mean, the way, you know, we could talk for 10 hours about all like.
Except this... I'm a normie and I have to go to daycare.
Yeah,
pickup
yeah, you have children. You have real responsibilities in life. I'll just say that initial interaction between the well-meaning person whose grandfather fought in the RCAF against the Nazis. And this unusual type person would never happen in real life or even probably in any previous online iteration of message board, because they wouldn't be hanging out the same message board.
Right, that's true.
And then she doubled down in the most like insane way, talking about like basically what she said. Yeah, you read the tweets, which she deleted, which is of course a way to end a pile on, locking your account or going and touching grass or other ways. And she was like, well, you know, she's basically saying, you know, the fighting against the Nazis, like it would have burned itself out eventually. And also that would have prevented the crimes of American imperialism. So sort of like, you know, shrug emoji. I mean, she didn't actually do that. But this is the sort of deranged thing that I would not have encountered 20 years ago. And
I think I would encounter it in conversations with people. I've definitely talked to people who see the world with views like this. But I mean, what's different is almost the number of people. Like here, I almost take heart in that, like, people are telling her she's wrong, and you get a little bit of a glimpse at how does the world actually think like this person, and there's a reassuring sense that maybe she's the outlier.
But do you think this person is just a provocateur from the way you're describing her, who enjoys online combat and getting attention, and this sort
of certainly
and Twitter encourages this sort of personality or way of acting. And it's ultimately not good for, who knows if it's good for her or any or this type of person in particular, but like it's not good for most other people interacting with it because it annoys them or wastes their time or and no one really learns it. Like, you know, did she learn anything? Like, is she going to make a Holocaust museum donation now?
No, but I think interesting what you're talking about with like these things that only exist on Twitter. So that's one. Then there are prompt tweets, which I hate.
Yes.
And then there's this other thing that Tad and I discussed on a recent Feminine Chaos, which is like these tweets where somebody imagines that somebody's looking at them askance and projects a whole thing about them. So this was some woman who in her Pilates class, a white woman had looked at her, that bitch, you know, and it was like, and it was all this whole invented thing. And what's amazing on Twitter, though, is, and I think people have long imagined somebody's looking at them askance, whatever, but you get all these acolytes in the replies who are like, you tell her, you know, it's like, this woman had done nothing and may not, as Kat pointed out, may not even exist.
Yes. So, okay. The people who had unusual wackadoo beliefs have always been with us. But the idea that someone who wasn't a charismatic cult leader could get like affirmation from the masses or 20 odd people for expressing these sort of wackadoo beliefs, like you couldn't get that before online. Like you would either be a normal person who had strange ideas that their family would tolerate, or you were like on the street with a loudspeaker. And so, okay.
So are you on Blue Sky? And also, were you ever verified?
No, I was never verified. I never tried. I have no real, I host a podcast. I have no real prominence and I never wanted that.
To be under the radar. And so Blue Sky, I don't know what it is. And I put my email into it.
I don't exactly either.
I thought you could just sign up, but apparently I had signed up to be on a waiting list.
I don't exactly either. So we probably shouldn't spend that much time talking about it. I'm not an early adopter. Whenever there's something new, you see people online when there's some new service, they're like immediately signing up. That's just not my personality. I'm like, let's wait it out, you know, sort of thing. And like I said, I'm feeling very much going down with the ship on Twitter. So I don't have any desire to sign up for Blue Sky. What it basically seems like is a very close Twitter clone of like 2013 era Twitter with limited functionality.
I see.
It's a closed beta. So it's invite only. So I mean, this happens with software
cool
all
enough.
The time.
Okay. Or I'm too cool. One of those.
You know, it somehow there's been like 10 or so things like this over the past year. Mastodon, I guess, attracted the most attention.
Right.
I never looked at any of them. Like I said, I'm not an early adopter.
I couldn't figure it out. I tried. I'm like not tech savvy enough to figure out what Mastodon is.
But it seems like some of the people who were blue checks immediately signed up for Blue Sky. And since it's such an obvious Twitter knockoff that I guess it's quite easy to use. And so maybe this will take off. Obviously nothing has replaced Twitter yet, so I wouldn't bet on it.
I see.
But it seems like very basic Twitter, and at least people are liking it because they banned one person who signed up to immediately start fights about trans issues. So the people who don't want to fight about trans issues
So that actually sounds very appealing to me, because I feel like often this is maybe like one of my bigger complaints about Twitter, and some of it has to do with having spent a lot of time on it at times when people in the UK are awake, but I find that like sometimes I log on and it is just like wall to wall trans issues, generally from the sort of like concerned that they're about there being too many trans
anti-trans.
Although, well, roughly, yeah. I mean, I try not to follow people who are like, you know, raging bigots on any side.
Obsessed with this issue in a
bizarre way. But the thing is that a lot of people who I had already been following and respect generally have just, it's broken their brains and it's all they can talk about now. And I don't even know. Like, I'm just not interested in it enough to, as a topic.
I don't get it either. It definitely has, I mean, obviously, for some people, it's quite important. If you yourself or a loved one are not involved, I just feel like this is sort of not my, you know,
it just seems like, to me, it just seems that it's like a bit of a, people are maybe overstating how big of a deal it is day to day in life. And
Joked, yeah, and I think you'll appreciate this. This is the Israel-Palestine issue of like the globe, because the Israel-Palestine issue, in fact, doesn't really matter all that much, especially like in either global terms or the number of people truly affected. And yet everyone has an opinion, and it, or at least it seems like everyone has an opinion.
I have
online.
Made similar points about trans people being like Jews in this respect, like very interesting as an idea, because like, I mean, I think it is true that the idea of gender and sort of the boundaries between genders and it, can you change gender? All is interesting in the abstract, sure. But then there are like actual people, and it's probably not so great for those actual people to become these symbols. Even the people who are supposedly supporting them are often, I think, turning them into these kind of like magical symbols in a way that's not great. So, yeah, I mean, that has been one issue I've had with Twitter, is I sometimes log on and it just feels like this wall-to-wall discussion of this one topic that I don't think is necessarily.
Yeah, I muted a series of words. Rowling, JK Rowling, J period, K period, Rowling. I don't care about Harry Potter at all. I read all the books and saw the movies, but I honestly don't care about it at all. Was one. I'm NIMBY, that's unrelated. I muted NIMBY and YIMBY. Anyway, there's people who care intensely about their own little issue, or they don't they think it's everything. Mm-hmm. And I have those things, and probably most people do. And somehow certain ones, you get like enough people on Twitter who care about it, and it comes to dominate. The UK aspect, another tangent. Let's leave that aside. That's a whole other conversation. But yes. Okay. Anyway, Blue Sky.
You've muted all British people.
I've started half jokingly like being racist against British people on Twitter and as a
you're gonna be banned for anti-British.
They would kick me off Blue Sky very quickly.
Oh,
no,
dear.
Just the insane. It's such a strange culture, and I mean, more people are with the whole coronation of King Charles III. I believe you're sovereign as a Canadian resident at least.
Yeah, I'm a permanent resident here, so it's apparently my problem now.
They have such
my
a strange
tax
culture.
Dollars are going to put more jewels in his crown.
And because Americans speak the same language as the British, we get to see what they say. We don't get to see understand what is happening on like Mandarin Chinese Twitter very well.
Right.
But I'm sure there's strange things happening there as well.
Sure, I'm sure.
Yeah, and probably too, the British Americans look insane and violent and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That's why you're stuck with Canadian Twitter, which is definitely
is the worst of both worlds.
Well, it's a lot of like hyper parochial infighting, and like everybody has these strong feelings, but like there's certain people, like if you retweet them, then like the 10 other people will hate you, and or so it seems. But I just sort of I am the sort of ignorant American, and I'm just like, you know what? I can retweet this one and that one, and I know they hate each other, and it doesn't really matter.
So anyway, some people who are the former Blue Checks, or people who I think are smart and funny people online, have started using Blue Sky, and they seem to be liking it, but it's very small currently because of this limited beta thing. The thing is, stepping way back, like, can you have something like Twitter that is a profitable business, that is not an insane thing, that is like good for the world at like national global scale? Like
I'm not a business person, and whenever I've worked for a publication that has not folded, I've always been in awe that that happened and never, I've never understood whenever people are like, how does your business function? I'm like, I don't know. Like, they pay me till they don't. That's like, that's how journalism works.
No, I have no, I mean, I have no business sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say that like ads, right? Like, you know, a company.
Have you ever clicked
ads,
on a Twitter ad?
Not intentionally.
Me neither. I don't know who would. It seems like probably about half of them are mistakes.
It always seems like some sort of weird like spam bot. Like it doesn't seem like an actual ad for something because Instagram will have ads that are very well tailored. It'll be like a vintage store down the street from me. And that's something I'm interested in. And then it'll, but like Twitter, it's no, never.
It's bizarre. I don't know why any large corporation would advertise on Twitter. I spend all of my time on Twitter and yet the ads I see have no relation to me at all. Whereas I spend much less time on Instagram, and occasionally there are like ads.
Often.
Of-
I would say Instagram ads are very often like small. If for me, I get like coffee shops and vintage stores that I'm absolutely interested in. I mean, I don't know if I've ever actually gone through and been to any that I've had an ad for, but like
I have made purchases via Instagram of seeing something. I mean, mostly like tchotchkes. Basically, a little hand-painted bird that I got for someone as a gift, that sort of level of thing. What am I trying to say here? I think it's impossible. Like, the thing that is great, quote-unquote, about Twitter is you have all these funny and smart people joking around, and then you have these weirdo, deranged people who you are bumping up against, and it creates this creative friction, and like the hatred between the groups or the misunderstandings or confusions fuels what brings us back over and over again. So if you have one that's just the like 2,000 or so blue check exiles from Twitter, well, one, that can't be a profitable company. Two, it's more or less like a message board. And three, what are they going to fight about? Like, I mean, maybe they'll just fight about trans issues, but you know, where is the grist for the mill or the chum of
right.
the
I mean, well, that is
Twitter?
The question. I don't really know what's kind of going to drive it now. And that's what I think probably will. Yeah. Make it just like any other sort of platform. Like there's just, if there's less participation, there's no point and people will only log on habitually for so long. And yeah. I definitely would go to websites like Gawker or whatever. I would go like out of habit for after I, or Slate, I would look at out of habit long after actually finding it all that interesting. And I think that might be...
Because Twitter was more interesting because it had this chaotic, at least this is what I think, it had this chaotic, like unhinged element to it that any actual... I mean, maybe Gawker would be somewhere between because Gawker pressed the bounds so much that they got sued out of existence.
Right. Well,
but, you know, Slate is not going to run something, not going to talk about something so unhinged that you're like whispering about it with your friends. Like, can you believe someone said it would be good if the Nazis won because it would prevent the atrocities of American imperialism?
Like, that's not going to run on Slate. At this point, the fact of the matter is, like, I do have, like, relationships that I maintain through Twitter where
I
talk to people through DMs and, like, that would, you know, until whoever I'm talking to on Twitter isn't there anymore, it's going to be that's where I talk to certain people. So it's like, that's, you know, I would have to kind of make an effort now to go off Twitter and still, like, talk to people.
Right.
Not any people. There are people I talk to, not on Twitter too, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I see people on the street sometimes and I'll say hi, or I'll ask them, you know, what is your most Jersey City coded trait? And they will keep on walking. So I'm still working on this sort of thing.
Oh no, the coded thing. This is, oh boy.
Yeah, so there's just these ways of interaction that Twitter... Most of them are dumb, but here's the question.
Do you ask them how much they tip in a coffee shop? Like,
yes. And what if your server was non-binary? Would that change your tip?
Absolutely has to be part of the conversation.
Okay. What are some things you think Elon Musk, owner of Twitter.com, like did not understand about Twitter, still does not understand about Twitter?
I think Elon Musk is the greatest genius of all time and that everything he does is amazing. And, I think he's saving the planet from the space people who are trying to bring wokeness to the drag queen story hours.
Into the cosmos.
I think he may be kind of destroying it on purpose because he doesn't like the media elites, which any sort of man of his ilk has a chip on his shoulder about this. So I think that's a possibility there.
He's consciously destroying it?
Yeah, or just kind of playing with it with no particular concern. I mean, I feel like I've dealt with people of his type more interpersonally than than I have dealt with Elon Musk because I have never met him. And I think he's disrupting. They like to disrupt.
We've gotten a peek into his personality or persona or whatever version of himself he wants to put forward. And it's extremely childish. It's like a, 11-year-old boy. He likes sort of memes that you would find on Reddit. Sure. He's also strangely attracted to this account, Cat Turd 2, who's...
Right,
who's
I've heard about this.
Yeah. He's a weird, anonymous, like MAGA Trump fan. Right. Yeah, he's a strange person. I mean, he seems... I think he's said that he thinks he's on the autism spectrum and doesn't and has a hard time relating to people. He doesn't seem to understand people at all.
Yeah.
As the way he acts, and he seemed to think that everything on Twitter was all the problems with Twitter were tech or engineering problems and not human problems. That's what I would say.
I see.
He also obviously enjoys being flattered and having people mm-hmm. think he's really funny. It really is so pathetic how these men, I mean, they're all men who have so much money and power influence also want people to think they're funny, or like the head of Goldman Sachs also is like a DJ and like DJs at parties in the Hamptons.
Yes.
Like,
cause they want to be cool. Cause they weren't cool when they were young, I guess.
The money is not enough. They want people to like them, and you can't buy.
Well, I think that's about, love. But isn't that the whole idea of reversing the blue checks, right? So now the elites are the people who paid. So it's symbolic. And he likes that.
I guess.
He likes the idea of a world where you're elite if you paid for it.
But I don't think he was like, I'm going to slowly destroy this site as punishment for journalists being mean to me. I think he thought, I'm the smartest person on earth and I can rescue this site and turn it into a moneymaker. And
right. Well, that's the other thing, is this idea that all that matters is the profits and, like something exists, got to monetize it. Right.
But he thinks he's not just a profit driven person. He legitimately seems to think he's saving humanity, the rocket ship stuff.
True.
Going to Mars. Like, he's a weird dude. And
true. And I have not given him personally tremendous thought.
I mean, not tremendous thought. He's imposed himself. If you're on Twitter, he's imposed himself.
Yes.
Upon us, our class of weirdo tweeters. I think he's probably at some point going to be forced to cut his losses and just sell it to like a private equity firm or something. Mm-hmm. And then they will try to run it more or less as it was being run in 2014. And it can't be profitable because online advertising is cratering, and mm-hmm. it will probably, become like MySpace. I think that's the most, sort of a brief zombie kind of mm-hmm. thing. And I think that would be for the best, ultimately, because it's such a
waste of time. Well, so do you want it to disappear?
I do. Yeah, I've said this in previous episodes that I'm rooting for. I was rooting for Musk to destroy it. I think Twitter mm-hmm. has been bad for humanity at large by giving us Trump. That alone would mm-hmm. damn it to mm-hmm. eternal hell, mm-hmm. and has had a lot of other negative effects that outweigh the positive effects of it being fun and funny.
Yeah, I mean, I can't decide whether I think it's positive effects for networking in the, like, not in the sort of derogatory, like, sense of, social climbing, but just talking to people, socializing with people with similar, professional interests, whatever. I think there's the positive effects there, but then there's, like, I do sometimes feel like I throw away material. Not that you can't turn a tweet into an article, you can, and I have many times. But just that, like, I have thoughts that I don't develop further because they've gotten them out now and they're out in the world and they just disappear. And then I don't remember. I can't even look up what my thought was because it's all gone and it's so ephemeral. And yeah, I don't know. And it just does seem like potentially a time suck. I can see that. Potentially.
Phoebe, potentially. Okay, we'll table whether or not it might be a time suck and consider that
fair
later,
enough,
later.
Fair enough.
No, I think it's... it has some positives. Yeah, professional networking. Like, half the guests I have on this podcast, I reach out via Twitter or something along those lines. It used to be quite good for following a breaking news event, and no longer, like, the way Musk screwed up the algorithm, it's no longer like that. Mm-hmm. Like, when Trump was indicted, multiple people noted this. That should have been the most fun day on Twitter since either Juicero or Fyre Festival. And just, it did, mm-hmm. it just, people had left, they weren't engaging as much, the algorithm was screwing it up. There wasn't the stream of jokes and half jokes and silliness mm-hmm. that there would have been if the equivalent event had happened pre-Musk. And the search function is much worse. Almost all the utility that I've gotten out of it over the years is being dismantled by mm-hmm. Musk's changes and people just fading away. And I think I just want to mention the thing about posting the engagement numbers publicly.
Okay.
So before Musk, you could, you know, go into like the control panel on Twitter and see how many impressions or engagements.
You could? I didn't even know that.
Yes. Your tweet got. This is the sort of thing that people who, you know, are either extremely, extremely online or maybe are trying to sell some sort of product or service or something.
I would imagine it's mainly the latter, yeah.
But there are weirdo types who care that their tweet got 500,000, you know, engagements or something. Okay. So, but that was always, you could only see your own. Musk, I think his thought process was that he wanted to show advertisers, like he wanted all advertisers to see how many people were seeing like his posts in particular. And that if he posted something, it was getting 12 million impressions in an hour or whatever, something like that. And so he made it public for everyone. I think this is like the secret thing that is like ruining the site. It was when I was like, okay, this is it. Okay, one, it's ugly on the form. I mean, like the graphic design of it is ugly. Two, you know, word cell versus shape rotator. This is a site for words, not numbers. Elon Musk is very comfortable with numbers. I don't want more numbers like scrolling past my face. Three, okay, I post a photo of my cat with a funny, quote-unquote funny caption, like, hi. The cat is saying hi in lowercase.
Yes.
And then I see 2 hours later, it's gotten 300 impressions and 7 likes. Does that make me feel good about anything?
So that's, I see what you're saying. I mean, I often do think, like, all these people have looked at the thing and decided against engaging with it.
You can't even throw a like to an adorable picture of my cute cat saying hi. What am I doing on this?
But I also wonder,
website?
Like, on what level has somebody engaged? Have they opened it? No, they've just seen it.
It's a black box. But everyone else can also see that. Yeah. Not only I can see that, only, you know, 1 to 2.
Okay, I'm
going to
tell you where I find it dispiriting. If I do a thread when I should have just done the one tweet, and then I can see the fewer and fewer impressions on each.
And it's essentially just, like, it was more or less a proxy. Yeah, it's more or less a proxy of how many likes and so forth you got. Like, it must just be some multiple of that. So that was already public, but it really is like, if you, why do you follow me if you don't want to see a photo of my cute cat? And like, what am I even doing here?
When I had, in my previous account, which had a lot more followers as well as a blue check, I just assumed a certain number of people had long since muted me and like weren't seeing anything I posted. Whereas now I feel like less likely, just so many fewer people, but who knows, maybe every single person who has not liked a cat photo, it's that they're all in a room plotting revenge. I don't know.
But
they may not have even seen it. They may have been like asleep with their hand on their phone.
So there's people who are on Twitter and look at it but don't interact at all. They never post or anything. That's some of it. There's probably some people who are like, this fucking loser with his cat. I am loving this guy who posts his cat photos. What a dork this guy is. So that's, who even knows if that's true or not? These are just the thoughts my brain goes to when I see all the time.
I don't even have a cat, and I'm putting pictures sometimes of cats that I see outside.
It really is like, what? It just reinforces the futility, waste of time.
Okay.
Sort of aspect for
so to wrap this up, you think Twitter should go the way of the proverbial bonfire, and all of the people who have not liked your cat photos should be thrown in with it.
They should rot in hell, honestly. It's like, what? So 2 years ago I said, like, why are we still on Twitter? And I the only thing I can think now is habit and addiction, like. And those are things that I want to encourage in myself. So for my New Year's resolution, I deleted the app from my phone.
Okay.
I still
makes
look
no
at
difference,
it
right?
Makes through the no browser. Difference. It's good.
Yes,
yeah,
of so course. I've done this.
I don't get the alerts.
I've done this. I've never had alerts on for it, but I've done the does nothing. Does nothing.
I also locked my account for various reasons, but one of them is it prevents me from misbehaving myself. And I should not act like I'm just a disinterested observer. I've, in addition to wasting time, I've been cruel on Twitter. I've gotten into arguments with people. I've said, eat a turd dingus to a lot of conservatives, which is the phrase I invented that wouldn't get you banned, but would tell you someone to eat shit.
I see.
I it has warped my personality. even beyond, like, I don't think it's made me a better person all this time I spent on it. So locking, I can't fight with random people by being locked.
That's a start.
And I can't go viral. So I'm not chasing virality. So it really that's is good. Just, I have a thought that Twitter has, Twitter has trained my brain with my acceptance to generate thoughts that are like tweets. And I have that thought, and I think this is sort of funny. And then
I think you've got to delete it for more than your phone.
But it's in my brain.
Yeah. You think that'll ever go away?
I don't know. This is really the most fucked up part. I'll see a word, like on a sign, and a Twitter-style joke will form in my mind unbidden.
I think that's normal. I think just lean into it. That's how it is.
Aside from posting that thought on Twitter, I could say it out loud, and then I'm one of the people muttering, walking
maybe
around the streets muttering.
Maybe that's better.
I could write it down on a little piece of paper, but it's not like this isn't actually, most of them are not actually objectively funny jokes. They're only funny if you are on Twitter and sort of understand
the
tropes of Twitter.
That's the problem.
This is no, there's
you
no
can text
actual
them
use
to somebody,
this.
But only somebody who's also on Twitter. And then,
showing this to a loved one, they'd be like, huh, they don't understand.
Unless they're also on Twitter, but then...
Yes. Okay. We've gone very long. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, I think that I've said more than enough. I've talked about old Twitter grudges and so forth, which is really the best you can do if you're talking about Twitter. We'll see what comes of it.
Let's say 6 months from now, like half of the people who you and I interact with on Twitter have moved to Blue Sky or some other place that's more or less like what Twitter was at some point. Would you...
Sure, why not? I don't feel loyal to it. What about you? You're going down with the ship?
I sort of think that would be that would enable me to get sober or something like that.
I see. Okay.
I haven't downloaded TikTok, and I did an episode with our mutual friend Lee Stein about this. Of just I know I'm susceptible to this sort of attention addiction dynamic, and so I don't even want to dip my toe into it for fear
I don't think I would be addicted to TikTok. I don't think I'm not that visual. It wouldn't.
Yeah, there's that. But it seems like I know people who are writers who are really into TikTok.
Sure.
I'm just it's like heroin, not even once. I don't even want to try it sort of thing. And so
maybe Blue Sky's methadone. And then I feel like we've had this conversation possibly about some other, I don't even know.
No, but Blue Sky's methadone. That's a great metaphor. I think I would try to go cold turkey if my supply got arrested, basically. And then we would see. I was sweating out. I watched Trainspotting for the first time a couple weeks ago.
I think you have my number, and you can text me the tweets. Text me your tweets, and I'll just delete it.
I think I would write them down on a little piece of paper and then burn them. That would be effect.
That would be the way to do it, for sure.
So Phoebe, if you want to follow you, where should they go?
I think I'm at Bovi Malts these days. It just went automatically to that when I signed up somehow, because I think I did it through Google or something.
Oh, huh. Interesting.
But yeah, I didn't even think about what to do it with it, and that's what.
Because you used to have Twittertation, which was a great little word.
It was
and
a good one.
And...
R.I.P. Twittertation. I'm not Twittertation anymore. But you can find me there. And then maybe one day you can find me on its clone, whatever the clone may be.
Yeah.
If I'm invited. I haven't been invited, so there's
me neither.
No danger.
But
you
I have
just
also
find me
I haven't
Bovi
requested.
Malts.
You've seen there are people.
I've requested and I'm not invited. I'm banging down the door of it and I'm
no, there were a lot of people tweeting
turned away.
Does anyone have an invite sort of thing?
I see.
Couldn't be me. Yeah, I don't want an invite.
Okay.
One of the weird things, I just seeing the screenshots, but instead of a regular handle, it's your handle.bluesky.social or something. It's so ugly.
Oh, so it's like Mastodon, I think.
I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm not an early adopter.
All right.
Going down with the ship.
So, I hope they send a life raft.
If they leave me on a desert island or something, then, and I'm just... There's a coconut there for me to get sustenance from. Maybe that would be enough. Okay, we've got... Oh, boy, this is really...
Getting silly. I have to go back to my offline world. But
okay, so Phoebe Malts,
but this has been
you.
Really fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on. Feminine Chaos, check it out. And say the name of the new podcast that you're working on again.
I'm also a co-host since January of the Bonjour Chai. It's a play on words like the Montreal people say hello, bonjour, hi, but it's like Jewish. So hi, like life podcast. And I'm on with Rabbi Avi Feingold, who's an Orthodox rabbi. And we are different, but have some interests in common. And we chat about sort of current affairs with a Canadian Jewish twist.
Oh, okay, so, cool. I don't know anything about French Québécois.
Well, it's in English. So. It's in English. He's in Montreal, but we are communicating in English.
But that's a great title.
I love the title. Pun. I think it's really great. I was when I learned I had an opportunity to be a co-host of Bonjour Hi, I was like, this is my dream. What a name. So yeah. So please check out all of my many, many podcasts and my many, many tweets.
And you know, I'm on Twitter, RACW.
Oh, and Substack. Sorry. Wait. Yes. I forgot. I have to plug my Substack. Close reading the reruns. I don't know how you find it.
Everything you mentioned, the link will be in the show notes.
Oh, it's my name, .substack.com. Yeah, okay. Yeah, phoebemaltzbovey.substack.com.
We might need a branding expert to come in and just help you with your patter for how to promote yourself.
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, I'm out there. I'm out there. Find
okay,
it.
But yes, the links to Phoebe's content will be in the show notes. I'm RACW on Twitter. I started a culturally determined feed because I went locked. So if people don't want my nonsense, it just somehow like the show. I don't know. It's culturally debt.
Oh, okay.
DET. People can follow that. Okay. Phoebe, thank you for coming on and taking the time.
See you on Twitter.
I'll see you on Twitter.
Bye.